The NC Department of Transportation is hosting a public meeting on its proposed plan to widen Aviation Parkway from NC-54/Chapel Hill Road in Morrisville to I-40 in Cary. The purpose of this project is to reduce congestion on Aviation Parkway, improving east-to-west mobility through Morrisville to I-40 and I-540. The meeting will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on May 12th at Morrisville Town Hall, 100 Town Hall Drive in Morrisville. For more information, visit ncdot.com and search Aviation Parkway.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 18th day of June 2025. And tonight, this is Pledge Week, folks. This is day three of Pledge Week. And so we're here, and we're praying for a good night, because we definitely need it. And in more than one way, with the weather out here, we've got storm warnings all over the place. But anyhow, back there in the phone booth, Pastor's Mighty Men, you have Eric and Mark back there, two deacons. And in the glass cage where we keep him all the time, ready to roll. I mean, he's ready to take on any fight, any time. None other than Style.
Hey, how are you?
Style.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, just barely. Yeah. Go ahead. I think we got a low volume.
How about now?
I can hear you better, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then here live in the studio, pretty near live anyhow, looking at me, is none other than Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All right. And so I'm going to give the numbers right out of the chute. The phone lines are credit card lines, 888-281-1110. And be patient with us tonight, because we got our one fella that's in here for the first time tonight. And so he's just learning the routine back there. And then the other number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And the title of the message tonight was, well, for this week, was The Father of Fathers. And we're going to pick it up where we left off. Now, we covered who God the Father, the fact that he was the father of all natural-born human beings, and meaning all those that were born, and actually all those that were unborn, that were murdered in the womb, he was still their father. And the estimation for those that have been born since the days of Adam was over 110 billion. And then we talked about him being the father of regeneration, too. All of those that were born again, believers, all of those that have gotten saved, he is their father. Now, then we talked about the duties of the father. And the duties of the father was one, the very first was to protect the mother of his children, and to love his children, And today we're going to pick it up with commanding his children. One of the duties of a father is to command his children. And we're going to start tonight with kind of a famous father of old. And we start in Genesis chapter 50 and in verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and he will certainly requite us with all evil which we did unto him. They kind of knew that they were in trouble because of what they did to Joseph. They sold him. First they threw him in a pit, and then they sold him to Potiphar. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brother and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive their trespasses of thy servants, of thy God, of thy fathers. And Joseph wept when he spake unto him. Now, the interesting thing, too, in those days, let me tell you, the command of the father was law. The respect, and this way it was used to be in those days. Fathers, were held in high esteem. Today, in our society, you've seen, especially out of Hollywood, where they try to make the father look like a bumbling fool, okay? Remember that sitcom series, Married with Children? And then, here you've got a fellow who was a shoe salesman. They made him look like a blithering idiot. And then, don't forget, All in the Family with Archie Bunker. It was funny, but they made Archie look like a bigot. And that's the way they do today. Now, wasn't that day, even in my times when I was younger, back in the 50s, you had Father Knows Best. He was treated with respect. You had Ozzie and Harriet. You had, Leave It to Beaver. And in all of these cases, the fathers were treated with someone who was to be respected, men who were logical, good. They were treated with decency, respect. Today, that's all changed. And this is one of the reasons why you've got so many men today moving so much farther to the right and away from those on the left. Because everything on the left is upside down, inside out, backwards. If it's logical, they reject it. Anyhow, so he goes on to say, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, he thought evil against me, but God meant it to good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And then one of the duties of a father was to instruct his children. And we go over now to Proverbs chapter 1. And in Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Well, here, style. Are you on the phones? Okay.
What's that?
No, I didn't know if you were on the phones or.
Oh no, we're all good.
All right. Well, here, a lot of people think that this is Solomon. By the way, Solomon had a lot of wives. For the smartest guy in the world, boy, that seemed like a stupid thing to do. And it was because it got him in all kinds of trouble with God. But he had like 300 wives and like 700 concubines. And do you know how many children he had?
How many?
He had three children. He had one son, Rehoboam. One son, Rehoboam, and two daughters. Now, you know, that's not getting a whole lot out of 300 wives, is it? Anyhow.
Do we know from how many wives the three children were from? Was it three different wives?
More than likely it would have been. Well, he had the one son by Naamah. That was Rehoboam. Of course, that was the one child. As far as the two daughters, they weren't mentioned, so their mother wasn't mentioned, so I don't know who it is.
Safe to assume, though.
But, you know, people think that this is Solomon writing this to his son, but it's not. It's actually King David speaking to Solomon here. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. And when he referred to his mother, who do you think he was referring to? Well, the mother of Solomon was none other than...
It was Bathsheba, right?
Yep, exactly. And Bathsheba has a place spoken very highly of after she repented. Here. And that is, she is known as the Proverbs chapter 30 woman. The words of Augur, the son of Lachi, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Eucal, okay. Here, you know what? I think I'm in the wrong proverb. Yeah, I am. I got the wrong page. Okay, now, Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. King Lemuel was actually Solomon. What, my son, what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, not thy ways that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink wine. So she's telling him not to give his strength unto women. What do you think that means?
I'm not sure.
Well, it means, one, to be a man, make your decisions, and don't get infatuated, you know, with these women. Now, why do you think Solomon married all those women?
Well, I think he quite enjoyed women.
Well, yeah, probably, but the main reason was, in those days, to avoid war, you married the daughter of your enemy. To increase trade, you married the daughters of your enemy. Now, all these women were younger women. He didn't marry any older women. They married all these younger women, okay? And so, here, that's the way he increased his size. A king's wealth and power was known by how many horses and how many women he had, okay? How many wives he had. Today, you know, it's not quite the same. That's a good thing, you know. And so now I'll move on from here. We'll move on over to one of the duties of a king is to, of a father, is to exhort and to comfort and to charge his children. And with that, we go over to 1 Thessalonians, I believe. Yep. Over to 1 Thessalonians. And in First Thessalonians. Here you go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. that we would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is the truth, and the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so here we see there in verse 12 that you would walk worthy of God. In other words, that is one of the duties that a father has to himself, but to teach his son, his children. Number two, with the 13 also, you're to be a comfort, that you are to comfort your children. And then verses 14, let me pick it up in verse 15. Who hath killed the Lord Jesus and their prophets, who have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak unto the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins from the wrath as it comes upon them to the uttermost. Well, here a father is to warn his children. And here the Apostle Paul is warning them that the persecution of Christians, of those that are born-again Christians, by the Pharisees, and not just persecution of the Christians, but also even of some of the other Jews. And then he goes on to say the last part of that, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Alrighty, I got to give those numbers out. The numbers are 888-281-1110. That's credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. All right, Dorothy in Illinois just placed 100. Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you, Dorothy. What we're going to do, I'm going to offer up a prayer real fast, and then we're going to get into it. There's a lot of things happening, so we're going to go a little bit early today. One of the things I wanted to tell you tonight, for you folks out there, a few things. One, we have, for those that have a donation of $25, the DVD number 2. That's the DVD number 2. Exhilarating Moments and Untold Challenges and many, many stories in between. Pastor Sanders and 50 years. There's a lot of things that have happened over the years that we have put on a DVD. And we were so out front of so many of these stories throughout the years. 51 years now, okay. And then we have also the best, I would say it's next to my Bible, it's the best book I have, and that's the Bible Answer Book. We call it the Little Red Book. The Bible Answer Book. Folks, it's, I've been a pastor for all these years, but this book is an aid to me. It helps me. You know, it's, all the answers is theirs. For some of us, when you get older, sometimes your memory is not the way it used to be. And this book is really a helpful thing, looking at different Bible verses and also different categories of things in Scripture. In fact, I've never had any premium that we've had where people will order sometimes 20 of them, okay? Because it's the best, I can't think of a better gift to give for Christmas to people than this, whether they're saved or if they're unsaved. If the unsaved start looking up something, they start going through it, it really piques their curiosity. And, you know, the Word of God never, ever, ever returns void. So that's what we have. Now, if you get both of them, if you get both the DVD number 2, and we're out of number 3, we're out of number 1, and number 4 is in the process. But if you get both of them, instead of 25 each, they're 45 for both. It'd be 45 for both. Now, also, don't forget the newsletter. We send that newsletter out. We get so much good feedback on that newsletter, the information we sent out, folks. So it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. I highly suggest that when you call in or you call the office or you send us a letter with your address, very, very clear that you get to put yourself on our mailing list. And by the way, we don't share any of that with anybody. That's totally, it stays within us, within the church. Now, those numbers again are, and the phone should be ringing. Phone hasn't been ringing. Phone's got to ring. Those fellas are sitting back there, just sitting there staring at the phones, hoping that somebody out there will have mercy and will pick it up and call and donate. That's what I'm hoping. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, my prayer is this. Lord, you know, in all of these years, you know, Lord, right now, Lord, you're our witness that in all of these years on this radio program, this ministry, this outreach, we have never ever, not ever given you anything less than our very best. Lord, you know that we've never compromised. We haven't been perfect. We made mistakes, but we've never ever compromised, and we've never ever in all those years we can say given anything less than our very best to you. And so right now, tonight, Lord, we're asking, Father God, that you prick the hearts of the people out there. Lord, we have this airtime. We can't have, because of the content, because of the things that we do, we can't have regular sponsors, even though we do have commercial sponsors, but they stay anonymous because we go way back before Alex Jones, before any of them. In fact, Lord, you know that even back then, even in, they were after us, trying to shut us down. So, Father God, you've kept us on the air all these years, Lord. You've kept us here, and it's been interesting. So, Lord, we ask that you move the hearts of the people and help us to continue to battle, to fight a good fight, to run a good race, and that it all falls out to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I think what we're going to do real quickly is take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John. Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son. It was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John.
Big John.
Now, there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big
Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John. Alrighty, we're back. Big Baptist John. Folks, there's a lot of things are happening out there today, and we're there's a lot of confusion, and here those that are supporters of President Trump. The title of my message this week is going to be "We Have a New and a Great President." He's new and great, but we have the same awesome king. Trump's not a king. There's a lot of things that's happening right now where, it looks like we're going to be in a war. And everybody's got a lot of opinions out there. But all of these people, even some of the so-called experts, folks, they don't have the information. They're not privy to what Trump knows. Now, even today, because a lot of those on the right, those that should know better, are like Tucker Carlson, for one, and others are getting angry at President Trump. They're out there making a lot of noise saying he's going to take us into another war. Well, again, like I said, they don't know, they're not privy to what he knows. The other thing is this, that I know there's been a lot of sword and a lot of saber rattling, and we do know. Well, when you send two of those big aircraft carriers over, you know the support group of those aircraft carriers, what they call a battle group, you know, they're, for every aircraft carrier, they have 12 ships that are support, you talk, that go with those aircraft carriers, battleships, so on and so forth. Okay, so right now you've got two aircraft carriers, 24 ships all together, heading towards the Middle East. Many of them are already in place there. And there's a lot of talk about this, you know, Trump has warned the Ayatollah, he's warned them that, look, we know where you're hiding. And, you know, we have those bunker-busting bombs that penetrate over 200 feet in the earth, and they can take out these bunkers. Now, Trump, even today, has told the Ayatollah, look, we still have, he's not saying surrender. He's saying, look, we have time for talks. There is still time to avoid a war. Now, there was supposed to have been a meeting set up. And there are people saying, well, the Trump was pushed into this by Netanyahu. And the reason they're saying that is because there were going to be, there's supposed to be talks were last week, but all of those generals, there's a number of them that were supposed to be involved in this talk, Netanyahu killed them all. And so, but you know, they're replaced very quickly. You have them out there, you know, Iran is not a little banana third world republic. Iran is over 90 million people, heavily armed, okay? And their goal was to outlast Israel. You know, Israel has the Golden Dome, and that's true, but for every one of these missiles, these hypersonic missiles that Iran sends into Israel, it takes two or three of the Golden Dome missiles to bring them down, and Israel's missiles are being depleted very rapidly. But at the same time, Israel has been making some major, major hits within. In fact, they just blew up one of their nuclear power plants, which means that area there in Iran is not going to be safe to live in for a long time to come. But anyhow, I said all that to say this. you're going to hear a lot, but just remember, none of these people that you're going to be listening to here, we're going to play some segments here, are privy to the information that Trump has. And remember, Trump's history is he doesn't want war. He does not want war, okay? And so, but sometimes you don't, there's no other option. And so, with that, Betty in Michigan pledged 100, and Vicky pledges 150, and Frank in PA pledges 100. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those numbers are 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. That's credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. Now, we're going to play some segments in here and then do some commentary on the segments. So go ahead and take us over to Stephen Gardeen.
Trump is in between a rock and a hard place. He's trying to support Israel. He's also having to stand up and be the big dog with Iran as we try to avoid war. The loss of confidence from the MAGA base. Also, the FBI just dropped a bombshell that China was trying to rig the election in Joe Biden's favor. Iran was meddling in our elections, and I want to talk about the border. To help me do that, I have my special guest, Joshua Phillip. Joshua, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, real pleasure. Thank you.
It was fun to run into you in Phoenix at Charlie Kirk's AmFest.
Yeah, no, that was good stuff. Yeah.
You were surrounded. I didn't have a booth or any. I literally just went in, put on my MAGA hat, and tried to fade into the crowd. and I really thoroughly enjoyed that. Let me give my audience some background. They might know your face. Joshua is an investigative journalist for Epoch Times. He's also the host of the Crossroads show here on YouTube, and I'll make sure to put a link to that down below. So lots going on in the Middle East. President Trump saying, we now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran. Iran had good sky trackers and other defensive equipment and plenty of it, but it doesn't compare to American-made, conceived, and manufactured stuff. Nobody does it better than the good old USA. Last night, I had to actually put down my phone as Trump was calling for his generals, the Pentagon, to meet in the Situation Room. Over on Twitter, it seemed all MAGA was abandoning him, saying, we don't want to go to war. What are your thoughts on this situation and also his support if we do end up in a war?
Well, I saw a poll from Charlie Kirk come out, and two different polls compared to each other. I'll give the first one, which is on a different topic, but Charlie Kirk was asking about immigration policy, MAGA stance on it. Roughly 90% back Trump on immigration and his policies. Charlie Kirk posted another poll, should the U.S. basically get involved in this conflict fighting alongside Israel against Iran? 90% no, stay out of it. And so it does seem to be the case that among Trump supporters, while I don't know what their stance on Israel overall is, but they don't want America getting pulled into this war. And I do think that is a sentiment held by, you know, a lot of the otherwise MAGA base. You do have a lot of very strong, you know, Trump-supporting personalities on the internet who are very divided on this. And Trump even directly called out Tucker Carlson. I don't think, and when it came to Trump's tweet you just read, or X post, where he talked about, you know, we control the skies, he's talking about American equipment. And so it is important to say, because I saw some people asking, well, is Trump suggesting that we're now involved? What Trump has been saying over and over again is basically the capabilities of Israel when it comes to their weapons and equipment is American weaponry. And so it seems to be, at least in my interpretation, he's suggesting that American weapons, American technology has effectively eliminated, air defenses of Iran. And I believe that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, I do too. Again, I feel like There are mixed feelings on Israel right now. They want to support Israel. They believe Israel has the right to defend itself. But I think Americans they've got war fatigue, and they don't want the Lindsey Grahams and people controlling Trump. I don't think anybody controls Trump. I do believe he's in control of what he wants. I'm reading, he's Benjamin Netanyahu's puppet. Israel controls him. AIPAC, the Israelis, the Jews, they all control. I don't believe that that is true. I believe that he is pro-Israel, maybe one of the most pro-Israel, but I don't believe that he wants to get into this war. However, it does get a little bit confusing when you see him saying things like, we want unconditional surrender. We know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. He is an easy target, but is safe there. We are not going to take him out, kill him, at least not for now, but we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for your attention to this matter. A lot of people on the internet, they're taking this as him like declaring war. Even members of Congress are saying, hey, tap the brakes. Only Congress can send us into war. I think Trump, this is the theater of war. This is the fog of war. I believe he's letting them know behind this fog is a military that will rain hell down on you. But I'm in control. I don't want this to go. I don't want this to cross a red line. Let's make a deal. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
So a few sides to this. I think what Trump is trying to do, I mean, he was trying to make a peace deal. He was trying to broker this whole thing. He was trying to make a deal to get Iran to back off its nuclear programs. And, you know, what he keeps saying is the deal is still on the table if you want it. So he's trying to get Iran to make a deal. Israel has been, you know, I think in terms of their statements, they don't seem to be interested in the deal that Trump is offering to Iran. And earlier statements from Trump, he said that first off, the people he was talking to, it seems that Israel might have killed some of the top officials he was trying to negotiate with. So the deal, I don't know who's even going to make it at this point. Trump had also said in earlier statements that Israel was planning to assassinate the Iranian leader, and Trump was the one who stopped them from doing it. And so it seems to be the case in that latest tweet or post that Trump is talking, you know, where he's talking about, you know, we know where your bunker is and, you know, we're not going to kill you for now. I mean, it's pretty strong statements. It seems to be the case that Trump is saying, look, I'm the one stopping Israel from doing this assassination. And if you want to, you know, live, basically, this is the deal and you got to sign the deal. In terms of the broader war with this, I do not feel the U.S. at this point is interested in getting involved in the conflict. I would even say it's bipartisan. If you remember during the Biden administration, Israel was also really divisive for Biden among Democrats. Even Democrats are super divided on it.
Yes.
All righty, we're back. Not only are Democrats super divided on it, they're pushing for a war, but not just the Democrats. You know, they mentioned Lindsey Graham. You know, these Lindsey Graham, Liz Cheney, everybody knew they were involved in the military-industrial complex. These are war hawks that make a lot of money off of war, okay? And I believe Speaker O'Connell, or Connolly, was also involved in, you know, big time in military-industrial complex. But anyhow, to assassinate the Ayatollah, what good do you think that would do? What do you think?
I mean, it's certainly not going to drive peace talks.
No, that would unite. That would unite a bunch of the Shiite and the Sunni. It would bring. What would be a big threat there? Here in this country, we have over 100 jihadist terrorist camps, okay? You know, the interesting thing was how the FBI admitted, they finally came out and admitted that both China and Iran were involved in the 2020 election fraud. We told you that in 2020, right here, behind this mic, we told you in 2020 that they were involved in that. So today, the FBI admits all of what we knew all along here. And so you know, here, and again, I wanted to say this, even today, as late as just today, Trump has given Iran one more time. Now, folks, Iran, like I said, this is not going to be that easy, although Trump is prepared for this. He has been prepared for this in case they have to go in there. But this could be what puts us right into World War III.
Also, I do have an update here from about 30 minutes ago from Donald Trump and his conference tonight. He said that a ceasefire is no longer on the table. We're not looking for a ceasefire. A ceasefire implies that everything is going swimmingly. The only way that we're out of this is if Iran agrees to total nuclear surrender. He also said, when asked if he was going to strike the Iranian nuclear facilities, he said, quote, "I may do it, I may not." And then he repeated his instance of Iran's unconditional surrender.
All right, now, there's information out there that that they've discovered a 2,400-acre camp, or if you will, facility underground in where they're enriching uranium. That would be a 2,400-acre would be impossible to hide. I mean, that would be impossible to hide, even at 200 feet underground. But anyhow, let's go back and listen to a few more minutes of Stephen Gordine.
I would even argue that the Democrats probably lost a lot of votes on the issue of Israel and Gaza, actually. And so it's on both sides of the aisle, this is a very divisive issue.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, the way you said something, Joshua, it actually just tilted something in my mind. So, President Trump gets on the phone, I can't remember her name, over on CNN. And she's like, are we going to war? Is Israel leading us into war? And he was like, well, all the people I was negotiating with are dead. And she's like, did you order that? And he's like, well, they didn't die of COVID. They didn't die of the flu.
Yeah, they didn't die of the flu.
But yeah. He may have actually been saying like, hey, listen, I'm trying not to throw Israel under the bus, but they just killed everybody that I thought I was going to get a deal with. I'm back to the drawing board. They're now forcing my hand. And that's where I think a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, is Israel leading Trump around by the nose? And I think he's trying to say, no, I'm still in control. I've got all the mental capability. I know exactly what I want. But now he's in a position similar to Afghanistan, where he tells the guy, hey, why don't you check your phone? Hey, why is there a picture of my phone? Because I know exactly where you live. Like we can make your life hell, or you can make sure no U.S. military people die, and nobody died. I think right now Pete Hegseth put out saying America is in a defensive position. We are not going on the offense. I think they're getting all the chess pieces in place in case something goes wrong. But I do not believe that Trump is going to pull the trigger unless he absolutely has to. But again, I think, like you said, I think he's trying to signal the deal is still on the table, but now the stakes are higher.
Yeah. Well, I think what Trump is also trying to do, he's trying to contain this.
Why Texas women can eat whatever they want.
Is that grandma?
I don't think he wants. The biggest concern is that this becomes a broader conflict. For example, you have Pakistan threatening nuclear war against Israel if Israel uses nuclear weapons. And, a lot of the public debates around, are they going to use nuclear weapons? That was the context of it. It was Pakistan saying they would use nuclear weapons on Israel if they do that to Iran. The other thing is, too, I mean, they might make a lot of Tehran and parts of Iran uninhabitable. They are reportedly bombing some of the nuclear power plants. I don't know what that means in terms of nuclear hazard and radiation. There are some reports suggesting that it's causing issues like that, and so I don't know how they're approaching that, but that could be a big issue as well. Back to Trump, though, I do think his interest is this. So I would view this as a continuation of the policies going back to the Biden administration, when they were trying to reel Israel back when it came to the war with Gaza. And effectively what happened was, is, you know, Netanyahu was saying, not his exact words, but we don't have to listen to you, United States. And so even then they were going against the wishes of the U.S. government. Now that Trump is in power, it seems that he does also have limited ability to get Israel even to do what we would like them to do. And it's not clear at this point whether they're acting on their own, to what extent the U.S. is backing them. Trump has repeatedly stated that we have not changed, you know, the United States has not changed its policies of backing and defending Israel, but we're not taking that so far as to join the war alongside them. And I think that's where the line is with where things are at.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me pull something up here, Joshua. This is not Trump last night. This is Trump 10 years ago when he first ran and said, we need to get the criminals out of our country. We need to build a wall. And if I become president, I will never let Iran have a nuke. I will do whatever it takes to make America safe and protected, because next to Israel, America is Iran's biggest enemy, right? Like, their mission statement is death to America, death to Israel. So, you know, anyone that's willing to abandon Trump over this has to remember he's not dealing with Girl Scouts selling cookies. He's dealing with a country whose top leadership's mission model is kill every American you can. But let me roll this and we'll listen to it together.
I will stop Iran from getting nuclear weapons. And we won't be using a man like Secretary Kerry that has absolutely no concept of negotiation, who's making a horrible and laughable deal, who's just being tapped along as they make weapons right now.
So that's him 10 years ago. People need to remember, for decades, he's been saying, avoid war. For decades, he's been saying, a deal is better than a war. I still think that's Donald Trump.
I think so also. And you know, going back 10 years, the context is important. The Obama administration, they tried making a very similar deal with Iran. They set up a system where we could monitor their nuclear powers, their nuclear sites. We could monitor their nuclear programs. There was the pallets of cash, some people remember, that were being sent to Iran. What did they do? Well, they took American sailors hostage. They posted videos of them crying. It was really terrible. They were harassing American ships. They were acting belligerent. Also, they reignited the flames of global terrorism. And then they did not allow our inspectors to go to their nuclear sites, even though a deal was signed. Trump came into office, and then what did he do? He cut off the money to Iran. He sanctioned them, and he made it so the regime was basically on the verge of collapse. They were going to collapse. And you had massive social disorder, protests brewing. The Iranian people looked like they were going to overthrow the government because there was no money. Then what happened? Well, Biden came into office. He brought, you know, he closed the sanctions, allowed Iran to have its money again. What did Iran do? It began sponsoring global terrorism yet again, and suddenly we had a resurgence of terrorism. Then you go to the 2024 election. Right before that, what was Iran doing? They were planning to assassinate President-elect at the time, Donald Trump. There were reports that they had assassination calls out for Trump, and that was why Trump was trying to get, you know, presidential-level Secret Service protection when he was on the campaign trail. I mean, that was serious. And then, of course, there were even reports in New York and elsewhere in the United States that Iran had assassins, they were hiring gang members, and they were calling for attacks even in the United States. Trump comes into office, the assassination attempts do not work, and, you know, now we are where we're at. It seems that he's talking about tariffs. But the question is, if he goes back and does what Obama did, which it looked like he was going to do, have a deal, have it so we can inspect their nuclears at their nuclear sites, see if they can become, maybe drop the whole goal of killing America. Will they cooperate? Will that actually get them off the path of building a nuclear weapon? And meanwhile, you know, I think on Israel's side, what they're saying is they're fighting Hamas. They're dealing with Hezbollah networks, not just, you know, people talking about Gaza, but Hezbollah's everywhere. They're in Lebanon. They're, I mean, all over the world.
All righty, we're back. And folks, I got to tell you, You know, Iran, after it got the billions and billions, the palace full of cash from Obama. And by the way, folks, you can absolutely bet that a good portion of that made its way right back to Obama. Obama became suddenly filthy, filthy rich, okay, after that deal. His wealth increased. And so after that happened, remember how they humiliated. Then they knew that they could do that because they knew their fellow Muslim Obama would be all in on it. How they humiliated. He hated our military. They humiliated. That's why he appointed people like Austin and Millie and all of these others in there to come in and to degrade our military. And that's exactly what they did with their sodomy. And anyhow, so again, remember, we warned you that was going to happen. We're going to be hearing now on the other side of the break. We're coming up to a break, and on the other side, remember what you're hearing. These are the opinions of people that are not privy to the intel. Now, even though they're privy to some, just like we are here, we probably are privy to a lot more intel than most of you out there are, but they're not privy to what Trump has, and they're not in his shoes. And this is no time for Trump supporters to stand down. This is no time for that. So anyhow, Bob in Illinois pledges 35. Thank you, Bob. The numbers are, we've got to hear from you, folks. We really got to hear from you. 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110. You're not going to hear any of what we're talking about here on NBC, ABC, CBS. And the next segment, you're going to have Alex Jones in the next segment. I want to remind you way back before Alex Jones, when he first came on the scene, who was it to put him on the air? It was us. We were the first ones to put a lot of these folks that are out there today, to put them on the radio, World News Daily. The folks, the good folks that run that, we were right there. The same thing with the Epoch Times. We were right in the beginning. We had those folks on the radio program just when they were all getting their start, helping them get their start. So anyhow, again, all these years, we've been here. We have never compromised. Lou in Michigan pledges 50. Again, those numbers are 888-281-1110. That's credit card line, or 888-677-9673. Now, again, when we come back from the break, we're going to be listening to Alex Jones and some others. And just remember, there are those out there that we do have. A lot of war hawks, like Lindsey Graham and others, that involved heavily invested. In fact, there's a whole lot of them, like John Kerry and others, that are heavily, heavily invested. And they're children, how heavily invested they were all in that war in Ukraine and Russia, folks. But anyhow, they're all pushing. They want a war. They want a war. Trump does not want a war. So keep him in prayer. Keep us in prayer. We're coming up to a break, and we will be back right after this. 888-281-1110. Call right now. Perfect time to call. Call right now. Be right back after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org.
Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.